Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Ah, yes, I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Wayne Miller.
And this is Back Talk.
We're somebodies. We're nobodies.
We're nobodies. And I'll tell you, only nobodies would be doing their second review of Bob Odenkirk's Nobody. Because this is revenge porn for the common man.
Yes. Yeah. We both like the first one. I like the second one. Remember in the day that we used to give grades to everything? From some of the stuff, they're kind of giving it about a B minus.
70, I would give it a C. 70.
I would still give it a B. A few weeks ago, we reviewed Megan 2. And the same thing, and I told you going into this, I like Nobody so much that Nobody 2, even though I liked it and I enjoyed it.
Well, Odenkirk plays Hutch.
Yes.
He's a guy who has a black ops background, but he looks like an enormous dweeb. And he's trying very hard to connect with his family. And they're going to do what is pretty boilerplate for this stuff, go on vacation.
Denzel Washington do that in Equalizer
yeah.
a couple of times.
Yeah.
But Odenkirk, that of course everybody knows him from Better Call Saul, a spinoff of a really good many TV series called Breaking Bad.
Right.
A sleazy attorney in that one. Well, in a way, an everyman. Instead of calling it Nobody, which is an apt title
yeah.
for both movies, they could have called it Everyman, because he is, and we could identify better with him than we can Jason Statham's, Denzel Washington's, Keanu Reeves, John Wick. But one of the things that was said, which gave me the hook for this review, and it is that Nobody 2 is a mix-up of the National Lampoon Family Vacation
movies. Well, that's for
movies.
Sure, yeah.
And, of course, the action flicks of somebody is on the outs with whatever agencies they've worked
well,
for.
Well, look, at he had, at the end of Nobody 1,
yes.
he had burned a whole bunch of Russian money,
mm.
$30 million to be, and
yes.
he is now trying fruitlessly to pay that back.
Right.
So this
right.
is a terrific bind for a guy who wants to be good. You know, he owes them so that he has to take the jobs that
yep.
they give him that use his black op. And they try to replay that terrific scene in Nobody One, which was in the trolley or in the train.
Yes, a pre-setup to the movie. This is the same problem I had with Megan 2, as opposed to the first Megan, that with Nobody 2, it lacks a surprise. We know what's coming. We
right,
know
right.
what this person's capable of,
yep.
which was clever and set up cleverly.
All right, the only surprise and the only clever here, for instance, would be in the set piece on the duck boat.
Yes.
Where he
yes.
gets to use anything he can find. That's the part where you and I yell and scream in the...
Especially when he's punching a guy that has, like, I think maybe he put the duck head, like a big rubber ducky head on this guy, and it squeaks every time that he hits it. Of course, you can't help but love something like that, a squeaking rubber duck punched out.
How Connie Nielsen ever got hooked up with him. Her character.
Right.
She
yes.
is so sharp.
Yes.
And she is just raising her eyebrows,
well,
putting
you know,
up with him.
People remember her from the Gladiator movies.
Yeah.
And really a very attractive woman, but she fits a mold that about 30 to 40 years ago that Sharon Stone used to play. But now, Sharon Stone, I liked her as the main villainess. You talk about somebody that not only chewed the scenery, she devoured it.
Right. She plays the major operative,
yes.
and she's giving all the directions. And it reminds me of how much I liked her in The Quick and Dead when she was wearing leathers about 20 or 30 years ago. And
yes.
here, they disguise her enough that you can't see her age.
And, you know, you, with the sunglasses,
yeah.
which is kind of like she maybe buys her sunglasses the same place you do. You know, with a tinted sunglass, but just cackling away as she's saying, okay, guys, go out, get this nobody, scorched earth. A saving grace to this movie, you can expect all the bloodshed and the gore and the explosions and action scene. The cast I really liked. Of course, Odenkirk, Nielsen, Stone, Tom Hanks' son,
Yeah.
Colin Hanks does a good job.
Yeah. He's a little strange to me in this one.
He's playing against type because usually he plays a good guy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Here he's part of the corrupt sheriff's office.
Yeah.
Walks away with the movie. With a gleam in his eye is Christopher Lloyd.
I think he's a loss in this one when I consider how well he did on Nobody Won. I don't know if they gave him anything in this one. He just looks like he's getting ready to die.
But which is good. He has that cadaver look about him. But as he's cackling away, operating a Gatling gun, just cranking away, mowing down the body count on this.
Now that you said that, I thought there was fewer bodies than, say, in a John Wick.
You're right.
I think they're trying to emphasize this family contradiction, which is a good part of it because, as you said, he's an everyman, and really, all of us fear we'd ever have to meet some of these thugs on the street, and we'd be able to do nothing. We'd be completely powerless.
Yeah,
and here he is, our hero. And you and I, of course, are perfect adolescents for this kind of movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because when the bad boys are approaching, we're cackling and yelling and screaming.
And I think once again, there was just one other person in the audience. So we could get away, we could sit wherever we want, we could get away with whatever we want, we could yell and scream or whatever, and hopefully that it's not Bob Odenkirk sitting behind us in the audience.
We go to movies sometimes just for the fun of it, particularly actresses and young actresses that we like their movies, but if they aren't that good, we won't do it. And we're going to do that. We're going to talk more about some of these thriller revenge porn movies.
There's always a lot to maybe say about it. And every time I saw this, I thought, God, what is it new that I can say we haven't said in other the Equalizer movies and Ballerina, the recent
one. Listen, but right now, Wayne Miller, the movie is Nobody 2, starring Bob Odenkirk. What do you recommend?
I would recommend it to people who just want to go for action-filled evening, also a lot of laughs.
It's mindless. It's the end of summer.
But be forewarned. If you really like the first Nobody, try to go in with not that you're just going to have a good time. Not a new experience.
And
as
for nerds like you, if there's a Nobody 3, you're going to be looking immediately to see if he still has part of his pinky finger.
Yeah, that's right.
We're talking about Nobody 2, and we've promised that we'd look at some other revenge porn. This is something we do to actually give an idea of how good our movie is compared with those which are better known.
Yes.
And most of the time it will pale.
Because we've talked a lot the past few years of the John Wick movies. And
yes, and I think that's a good one to begin with, yeah.
Got me thinking of the Die Hard movie franchise. Because unlike Denzel and Jason and even Keanu, there's an everyman quality about Bob Odenkirk that is similar to Bruce Willis. And I think that's what made those Die Hard movies work, particularly the first one. As with a lot of franchises, it lost after a slam-bang surprise at the box office as well as critical surprise that the sequels all failed to come up to the first one.
Sure.
There's more of an everyman quality about Bruce Willis that always appealed to fans.
Well, don't you think maybe not classically good, but consistent recently is the motif that Liam Neeson brings in with Taken?
Exactly. Yes.
Doesn't he always seem to be in a revenge mode?
Oh, definitely. Like, the very first one, which I think was probably the best of the lot, was his daughter was kidnapped.
Yeah, one, because I know that you'll respond positively to this suggestion. Another revenge film that doesn't need and probably could never have a sequel would be Carrie.
Oh, well, it has had.
Has it?
Yep.
I shouldn't have said that. I knew he'd be.
Not so much a sequel as reboots. There was a made-for-TV movie of Carrie, and then one 10 years or so ago with that Chloe Moritz, whereas at first Carrie was a surprise.
Yes.
And very good. And believe it or not, do you know that Sissy Spacek was nominated for a Best Actress Oscar in Piper Laurie?
Unusual.
His mom.
Yes.
Best Support.
Very good. Very good, yeah. One of the classy revenge films. One that all the way around, the movie, everything, the director, Kill Bill.
Oh, a Kill Bill. Bill with Uma. I saw it after we saw Nobody 2. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a lot like that.
However, a lot better.
But the blood count with her Japanese sword, as he wields one, and nobody too.
Yeah.
And man, she goes through them literally like a hot knife on butter.
These are, I say, something by Tarantino, so much more literate, so much snarkier, it's such wittier. That is why I like us to talk about these, to give an idea of just where Nobody Too rests in that hole.
Yeah.
Here's one that I think is the scariest that goes beyond anything John Wick could ever do. Cape Fear.
Oh,
and this was either with Mitchum or De Niro.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is revenge that every man can fear.
And it's interesting you use the word every man, because the villains, and of course in the original in the 50s, Mitchum did that great job with his like little straw hat and this like little white golfing hat that De Niro won in the remake.
Yep.
They play against people who made action films themselves, obviously, but they come off as impotent dweebs trying to protect their wife and their daughter.
Yes.
And the first one was Gregory Peck.
Yes.
And in the second one was Nick Nolte.
Yeah.
From the original Cape Fear, both Mitchum and Peck both appeared in small roles.
Oh, that's right,
In the De Niro remake of it.
The classiest of all, and none of these can compare with this one, Hamlet.
I'd known you brought that up, I would have brought the skull line out, and talked.
There's one that everybody might mention without knowing anything particular about the series of films, the Death Wish business. This is Bronson, don't you think?
Oh, definitely, definitely more in that the realm of the nobody movies of any of the these movies we've talked about.
But he brings revenge hardcore.
Oh, hardcore. First one surprised people. But once again, he was an Army vet, and he's an architect in the movies, you know, something like that. An Army vet, but he was more of a conscientious object, even though that Charles Bronson was excellent and a tough guy.
Yes.
And not a pretty boy to say at all. And you could identify with him because he did not have some of the skills that all these other people we talked about to dispatch a number of people. He went with his wits.
Yeah.
And at first using, I think in the first movie, a sock with rolls of quarters in
the
sock. Oh,
good one,
To use as a mace or whatever.
All right, I would love to hear you deny this because I know we have talked about this film before how much we admire it when you're talking about revenge.
Yeah.
This would be Straw Dogs.
Oh, yes. And once again, a emasculated man.
Yes. Dustin Hoffman or...
Dustin Hoffman, and they did a remake of that one. Trying to think.
Well,
of
in that original, you have
brothers. One of the Wilson brothers in a remake.
Oh, all right,
Somebody, I have to Google that. But
But in the original, we're talking about Home Invasion, which I think comes really close to the heart of fears in revenge for all of us. If we consider our homes to be our castles. And when they are invaded, and invaded by tough guys against whom we are completely impotent, as you say, this is the heart of good revenge. Yeah.
And in that one, what I liked so much about it, you could identify, since we're both academicians, with this mathematician played by Dustin Hoffman, an American, who moves to the English countryside with his English wife, where she used to live, and had a boyfriend that was one of the main thugs, Susan George, next to Jenny Agutter, one of my all-time favorite.
She's good, a good choice.
English actresses.
Yes,
and then what made Straw Dogs interesting to me, David Warner, a British actor, played the feeble-minded person, is accused of a crime, or did something. And Hoffman's not only protecting his homestead, he's protecting that guy, David Warner.
We could end with a Oscar-winning movie that would bury Nobody Too for its sophistication and for its element of revenge. And I'm going to call it Unforgiven.
Oh, yes.
And doesn't he go out after
he's hired, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a former gunslinger. He's hired by these prostitutes that one of them was slashed up by this cowboy, and they hire Eastwood to come and to not only rid the town of this bully that slashed one of their friends, but also the whole gang led by an excellent Gene Hackman.
Oh, he is.
Who channeled, and you mentioned earlier, The Quick and the Dead with Sharon Stone. Yeah. Same type of character.
All of the set pieces that are memorable. Hackman with English Bob.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Where he takes care of English Richard Bob Ayer. In the town.
And then beats the crap out of Morgan Freeman.
And there's another reason for the revenge.
Yes.
Because he was Eastwood's friend, right?
Oh, yeah. Now, yeah.
And never forget the image of him in the coffin. Great one. You know, he wrapped up in that coffin.
And kind of like it's outside of the Long Branch Saloon in Dodge City. Yeah. And propped up, which was because I've seen photos from the Victorian age, particularly England, of propping up the coffin and taking pictures of the dead.
Well, you and I have talked, as we want to do, to elevate when we're going low rent. But we elevate it. We say, what can Nobody 3 do? And I think we had a good suggestion. His Black Ops background.
Yeah. Maybe a prequel.
Yes.
Maybe.
I think a prequel would be great.
Maybe a younger actor.
And yes.
I'm trying to think what they've, movies like this whole thing, if they've had, and I'm sure there is, and boy, this would be a subject for another one.
Prequels?
Yes, to a movie. It would have set up. But sometimes it's disappointing because usually they have to hire a younger actor.
Well, of course, And don't you think John Wick might, even though we have her in Ballerina, but Anna.
I know that you brought up something because I think we've done a disservice to the women listeners of your podcast out there. Probably one of the best revenge porn type of kick butt people with skills. Charisse.
Theron.
Yes.
Please. Thank you. Tom and Blonde. Great.
The Mad Max Fury Road.
Thank you. Yes. I completely forgot. That's
one of the best fights. And every time I see something like that, I think, wow, this is a great fight scene. It's the best one yet, you know?
Well, we did mention Carrie.
We did mention Carrie.
But you are quite right. Charlize just elevated revenge business. Okay, Wayne Miller.
Okay.
The film, surprisingly, we have a lot of people out there with raised eyebrows saying, what are they doing reviewing this? And who knows, Feedspot will probably pick up on this because they love
what
we do.
They should. Right. We're the best out there.
Right. Yep. So we're doing Nobody 2, a nothing ball movie, but we've made something out of it. So we are at the end of summer. We have families going out, and we encourage them to go to the theaters. What can they see? What do you suggest about Nobody 2?
To go in, take it from two somebodies to go see Nobody 2.